while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Let me start by saying, as so many people do, I can't remember the first time I got this message, and I thought it a little bit strange, a few years now. And then from then on, it just seemed like I would get it every month. So let me say to you, Happy New Month! You know, I don't know what that's about. Some people say, Happy New, some people send me message, Happy Monday. And I'm like, wow, that's a thing now? You know, Happy Thursday. I mean, you know, happy, what time is it? Happy 10 minutes to 12. I mean, you know, might as well. For the whole of this month in February, we're going to be journeying through this sermon series, In the Beginning. In the Beginning, those of you on social media, I can hear people laughing already. In the Father, forgive us. We know what we're doing. All right, I have to be serious now. In the beginning. And through this series, we want to go back to the origins. We want to explore the origin story. The vision of God is for today. Next week, the second in the series, we're going to be focusing on the account of Genesis, hoping that we gain a better insight into Genesis, which is the first book of the Bible, the one that tells the story of creation and tells the history of humanity. In week three of the sermon series, we're going to focus on the role of Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, the second person in the Trinity. And obviously, if he's in the Trinity, he had a part to play. He has had a part to play in every major thing that God has ever done, and the things that he's doing right now, and the things that he will ever do. And then we round it up in week four, where we look at the place of the church, we, the gathering of God's people, so that we better understand his call for us. So as I said, today's theme is the vision of God. It's actually just a short introduction to the sermon series. My hope is that as we explore the details around this origin story, we can learn, or we can be reminded of God's plan for us as his people, and reinforce the foundations of our faith. So let's get to it. Have you ever tried to explain something that is unexplainable? Has anybody ever tried that? Have you ever? A few people are like, Okay, let me ask this question. How many people here are parents? I'm sure your child has come to you with a question and you're like, you know what, ask your teacher on Monday. Because I certainly have done that. Think about that one thing that you've been on. And those of us who are teachers, yeah. Those of us who have worked in education, you know, sometimes you're asked questions that will ground you. You're like, whoa, you know, this child, where are you coming from? But think about the question that you've asked and you don't know how to begin the answer. It's like, where do I start? How do I explain this? When I was preparing for this sermon series, preparing for today, that's how it felt. How do I, how? I mean, it's not like I was there. How? How do we do this? So when we consider, when we contend with issues of the beginning, you know, issues of Genesis, it's not easy. Because the creation story, God's creation story, is something of a phenomenon. It's something like a phenomenon. Wrong song. I'm sorry. Some of you are thinking, what's that? Is that a song? Yeah. Yes. If you were around in the 90s, you know that song. Oh, you Gen Z. No, you probably know that song. Yeah. He's doing this. He's probably listening to it right now. He's got his headphones on. He's loading it on Spotify. A phenomenon, let me talk about that word. In simple terms, a phenomenon is something that happens where we don't, or we feel like we don't, or we cannot have a full answer. We cannot have a complete answer. Phenomenon happens, you're like, where do I even start to explain this? You know, a phenomenon is something that, in a way, it blows your mind. A phenomenon leaves us in awe, leaves us in wonder. We live in this increasingly polarized society. I am on this side and I am on this side. Where, you know, we contend about everything. We contend for everything. We contend, you know, in everything. And most of us will know someone who has what the world calls extreme views. Someone who believes a particular thing is this particular way or a particular thing is that particular way. I mean, even some of you listening to me right now might fall into that category where people have said your views are very extreme. You're a little bit extra in the way that you believe or the things that you hold to. And this is indicative. We're seeing this in the, you know, through global population, where we're becoming more people who are divided rather than united. We're seeing societal divisions. There was a time when the idea of where life came from, there was a time where everybody agreed life came through God's creation. It was the prevailing theory right across, the theory of origins. Where do people come from? Where does life come from? God's creation. And most people believed, most people understood the words of verse 1 of the Bible, which is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, that says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In fact, that was the case. Everybody accepted that. Right up until the mid-1800s. And then certain geologists started to question the creation story, because it didn't match up with the things they were beginning to understand. It didn't match up with the things they were beginning to see and the things they were beginning to discover through science. By the time we get to the middle of the 1900s, you know, your 1940s, 1950s, thereabout, evolution is now the accepted explanation. It's the accepted means through which biology and the origins of humanity came to be. Evolution had taken the place of the creation story. Now, before anybody, you know, tries to knock scientists and all these scientists, please don't do that. Please, you know, you wouldn't be here if not for scientists. Trust me, that car, that bus, the clothes that you're wearing, the food you ate, there's science everywhere. Soap or shampoo or whatever it was, the shower gel you used this morning, scientists. There's scientists everywhere. Please don't berate scientists. You see, the one thing that science does, science helps us to find answers that we're seeking. And scientists are human beings. They're on their own journey. They're searching themselves. And part of their process, part of the scientific process, is you formulate a theory. You say, I think it could be like this. And then you search for answers. You examine the data from what you're searching that will either confirm or refute what you have thought, the theory that you have, put forward. So it helps you to reach a conclusion as to whether it is true or you disprove the theory. Typical good scientists don't just pull something out of thin air and start talking about it. Some of you might say they do, but I'll leave you to be the judge of that. Now, before I move on, I want to share some of these creation stories. I did a little bit of research. What are the various creation theories? Let me say theories that were out there. There's one that I read about called cosmic intervention. This doesn't exist anymore. Well, I don't think it exists. Well, maybe it does exist. Cosmic intervention proposes that billions of years ago, aliens landed on Earth and sowed the seed. Let me finish. You guys are laughing already. And sowed the seeds of life on Earth. And then after they sowed the seeds of life, the aliens left for their planet. When I read that, I was just like, okay. I'm not even going to go about whether aliens are real or not. Let me tell you where I took it as a theologian. Are you ready? I said, who created the aliens? Even if you're saying aliens, okay, fine. God created the aliens. Do you know? Anyway, there's another idea, something called smokers. Smokers, nothing to do with nicotine and cigarettes and vaping, yeah? Smokers, the idea is that life began from smokers. Smokers are volcanic vents deep at the bottom of the ocean, on the ocean floor. Because what happened, I think it was in the 1930s, 1940s, they discovered that the bubbles that are coming out of these volcanic vents on the bottom of the ocean floor, some of these bubbles were carrying string DNA, raw string DNA. And then they said this raw string DNA could have floated across the oceans and started life. It evolved into life. Yeah, that's okay. But my question again is, sorry, where did the volcano come from? Where did the ocean come from? Where did the bubbles come? You know, where is this stuff? Where did the gases come from? Yeah, where did the DNA come from? Origins. So right now, we're left typically with the final two, which are that life came via an intelligent being, that is God, or life was created by chance, right? A series of random events, you know, Big Bang, etc. And then natural selection took place. And that is what, you know, it was chance and chaos that became order and complexity. When we think about the order and the complexities of life as we know it, again, my question abides. Where did those original elements come from? I'm not going to get into the science because I'm not a scientist. I'm not going to argue with them. My point is, what is the origin of the origin? Where did that come from? The only answer that makes any sense is that they were put there by God. Even the Big Bang Theory, you know, I've always said it, you know, years and years ago when I was younger, I'd say, who lit the match? There was an explosion. That's fine. Who lit the match? You know, who put the ingredients there? Yeah. The gases and the elements that are described in the Big Bang Theory, the theory doesn't account for the origins of those gases and those elements. It doesn't do so. So here we are. We are here to let the world know the real answer to the questions. The original origin is God. Amen? Amen. A few moments ago, I read out verse 1 of the entire Bible, verse 1, the very first verse, Genesis 1:1. However, last year, I was on YouTube or I was somewhere, and I discovered that Genesis 1:1, there's a verse that comes before that. Some of you might have seen the video. There's a verse 0 in the Bible. If you've got your Bible, turn to the beginning, turn to it. If it's a paper Bible, you know, you might want to write this down. And you know, when I heard this guy talk about verse 0 in the Bible, for me it was something like a phenomenon. You know, I was like, wow. You know, I was like really quite impressed. Verse 0 in the Bible. There is a verse 0. Genesis chapter 1, verse 0. Are you ready? So look at it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning, right? What does it say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let me tell you what Genesis chapter 1, verse 0 says. It says, before there was a beginning, there is God. Before there was a beginning, there is God. That's verse 0. It helps us to understand God didn't begin when the beginning began. It's the truth. God began before the beginning began. Those of you who join PHBC Radio, you've heard me say it several times. He existed before existence existed. You've heard me say it several times when we're doing our daily prayers. That means he didn't start at the time that time started. He started before the start. He actually started the start. You know, to say he's the beginning and the end, nah. He's before the beginning. He's after the end. He doesn't exist on those planes. And the Bible helps us understand that it was he that made all things. So we see it there, Genesis verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, he created the heavens and the earth. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 tells us, it says, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. You see, note the phrase, it says all things, not some things, not most things, not few things. Not a lot of things. All things were created. Has anybody here ever created something? Let me see. No, actual show of hands. Show me. If you ever created something, maybe you a meal, you baked a cake, you decorated something, art, you did some knitting. Can I see some hands? Okay, lots and lots of hands going up. You drew something, you created something. As a creative, do you know one of the most important senses you have? It's not your touch, it's not your smell, it's not your sight. It's not your touch, it's not your smell, it's not your taste. It's your sight. Not just your physical sight. The creative relies on insight, on foresight. You see it before you make it. Isn't that right? You see it in your mind before you draw it. You see it before you draw it, before you write it. So it was with God. He had a plan. God's vision, he foresaw a plan. And Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 paints a clear picture in helping us to see the state of the world. If you look at Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, the state of the world was dark, it was formless, it was chaotic. And it's this shapelessness, this infinite, in fact, shapelessness was infinite. In terms of where the world was, where we were, where the earth was. It was dark, it was void, it was without form. Let me just pause for a moment and just ask, have you ever felt that way yourself? Have you ever felt that you're in a place that is dark, that is formless, that is chaotic, a place that has no order? It's like things are happening all at once. The pressure's coming from left, right, and center. You don't know what to deal with first. You don't know what to handle first. You don't know, you know, Anita shared a wonderful testimony of some of the opposition that she faced, and she had to go on a path of warfare. She had to take a warfare stance, saying sometimes you retreat, sometimes you run to God. Sometimes God is telling you, pick up that sword and fight. You stand, you put on the armor of God. What for? To run? Nah, no one's chasing you down that road. Take your position and fight. And sometimes we feel that way. Maybe it's a situation that you've experienced. Maybe it's one that you're experiencing right now. You're battling with something. Let me tell you right now, if you have felt that things are chaotic, things are formless, things are dark, things that there's a void around you, let me tell you right now, this sermon is for you. Allow God to use it to speak into your life. Amen? Amen. Now, let me also caveat something. Let me caveat what I'm saying. Let me remind you that sometimes darkness and chaos that we're experiencing, sometimes it's not because of Satan. I'm just going to say that. Some of us have found ourselves in a situation. It's not situation. It's not circumstances. And it's not Satan. It's sin. I'm just going to say that. I'm not a hyper grace preacher. Everything is grace. Don't worry about it. Everything is the devil's fault. I told you about the joke, didn't I? One day a pastor came to his church. He was unlocking the door. There was somebody on the floor outside the church crying. And he said, oh, hello, can I help you? The guy pushed his hood back and he saw that it was Satan. He was like, whoa, Satan, what are you doing in my church? Why are you here? I rebuke you. Satan says, no, I didn't come to fight you. I didn't come to fight you. And he says, oh, Satan, you're crying. What's going on? Satan says, please, pastor, could you tell your people, it's not all my fault. Because it's true. Sometimes you always say, oh, Satan this, Satan that. There's only one Satan. He can only be in one place at a time. 99% of people you know, including you, including me, 99% of people you have ever met, you will ever meet in your lifetime, have never had a direct encounter with Satan. Satan is only one person. Oh yes, he has his boys, he has his demons. That's true. And I'm not talking about them, I'm talking about him. Do you understand? And sometimes we're the ones. God tells us, do this, we don't do it. We get godly counsel, godly advice, we're not following it. We read the scriptures telling us to do something, behave a particular way, talk a particular way. We're not doing it. And then we find ourselves in that place where it's chaotic, it's formless, it's void, it is dark, it is without form. But even in a situation like that, there is a remedy, and that remedy is God. Amen?
Amen.
Some scholars believe Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 is not just about the beginning. It's talking about a new beginning. Because think about it. The earth had a form, and then God came and he spoke. You know, it says the Spirit of the Lord was hovering. Some people say hoovering. No. He wasn't hoovering. No. It was hovering over the face of the earth. Yeah. And God came and he spoke and he said, let there be light. You see, in the beginning, and remember the order of things was that there was no order. Remember that, it was chaotic. And then God came in and brought that order. And some people, you know, look at that and say, yes, because there was a form, there was something, and then God changed it into something else. So it's like a new beginning. The earth was formless and the earth was void. And God created, in fact, Genesis 1 tells us God created the heavens and the earth, right? And then Genesis 2 tells us it was formless, it was void, it was chaotic, it was dark. Hold on. So what was going on there? Was God in it or was God not in it? Do you understand? And sometimes it can appear that there's a contradiction. How can something be created and be void? How can something be created and be formless at the same time? And sometimes, you know, again, like a phenomenon. We ask ourselves this question, like, how do we fully understand this? And the answer is we don't fully understand. Now, I personally believe that God is presenting to us a new beginning. I agree with that. That there are situations in our life that feel formless, void, shapeless, chaotic. You know, it's just a mess. It's a hot mess. And God is saying, when I'm in the mix, order comes in, peace comes in, prosperity comes in, blessing comes in. Don't forget, He was in the beginning before the beginning began. Don't forget that. And we'll never be able to truly understand the aspect of that. Because in truth, God doesn't dwell in time. He dwells in eternity. Forgive that phrase, but that's just the only way I can say it. He's not in the finiteness of the time that we understand. He dwells in eternity. In any case, we don't really have enough time for me to go into a scholarly discussion around time and kairos and chronos and all of those nice, lovely Greek words that some of you know. But I will tell you this abiding truth. Every time there is chaos, there is darkness, there is trouble, there is stress, there is also a remedy, and that remedy is God. That remedy is God. The entirety of Scripture gives example after example of God stepping in to rescue humanity from one chaos, one stress, one problem, one situation, and He always is there, restoring order, restoring peace, restoring blessings. Our God, the unchanging one, the steadfast one, the immovable one, the dependable one, the faithful one, the unshakable one, the undefeatable one, the indescribable one, He is the remedy, saints. He is the remedy. And yet, as big as He is with all of that, He is available for us. He is our ever-present help in time of trouble. He's not some big faraway God that you can't reach, that you can't touch, that you can't call, that you can't experience. You call Him and He comes for you. He is the remedy. So back to the beginning, our beginning. Everything was formless, it was hopeless, it was shapeless. What did God do about it? What did God do about it? The same way we see demonstrated through the gifting of every creative, the first thing He did, He conceptualized, He visualized. There was conceptualization before there was action. God saw what He wanted, and then He said, "Let there be light." He spoke it into being. He spoke, in fact, He saw what He wanted to speak, and then He spoke what He wanted to see. I'll say that again. He saw what He wanted to speak, and then He spoke what He wanted to see. And I want to use it to challenge some of you. You need to check your language. I'm sorry, I didn't mean it to be like this. You need to check your language. Isaiah 55:11, God says, "My word, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It will accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." The number of times, you know, people will say, I'm such a this. Oh, and you say it as a joke. I'm such a buffoon. Hey, the words that you speak, they are spirit and they are life. You call it into being. Who are you? And that's what you're calling? And then when people treat you like that, you get vexed. You get upset. It's because I is black. No. Got nothing to do with your race. It's about your confession. You declare who you are. Anita stood up here and said, "I'm a queen." What? Did it sound arrogant? Maybe. Was she telling the truth? Yes. Interpret it how you want. She said, "I'm a queen." She was telling the truth. And this leads us to the last two verses of our text today, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4. They tell us, He says this, God said, "Let there be light." And what happened? Bam, there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. Again, God, let me tell you, God spoke. And when He spoke, things changed. We're meant to be like God as Christians. Luke chapter 6 verse 45 tells us, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." The NIV says it this way, "The mouth speaks what the heart is full of." When I hear people who are Christians, when I hear people who are Christians using foul language, I don't feel angry. Honestly, I don't feel angry. I feel pity. I feel pity because for me, I'm like, what a shame. What a shame that an emotion arises in you and it's not God at the top. How sad it must be for you. That's how I feel. I feel, wow, what a shame. I pray that you will, that for you, God is the first thing that comes up. Some people, they'll hit their toe, F word. It's a swear word. It's a that word. It's a the other thing. I'm like, wow, that's sad. That is so sad that God's not at the top of your list of vocabulary and expression. Let me tell you, we know exactly who you are and how you are by what you say. Just in the same way you judge me, everything I'm saying here, the words I'm using and the words I'm not using, my body language, you're reading me. People read you too, saints. We know you. What are you going through? And when you're going through stuff, what do you think? What do you say? What do you do? God had a vision for humanity. He had a vision for you. He had a vision for you and you and you. He had a vision for you. He had a vision for you and he spoke it into being. And he acted to put things in place. How will you respond to that? Every single one of us at one time or one other, one context, one situation or other, we've needed a new start. We've needed a new beginning. Sometimes we stray from God's perfect plan and purpose for our lives. That's true. Sometimes we do that. And then we find ourselves in this rut, in this ditch. You know, wrong choices, wrong habits, wrong advisors. Sometimes, you know, the good things in our life, you know, become formless. They become void. Yes, sometimes it's our fault. Yes, but sometimes it's not. We didn't do it. We're trying our hardest. We're really trying our hardest. And sometimes it's because we allow things into our heart that really have no business being in our heart. Sometimes we allow the truth, God's truth in us, to become void. Again, I want to tell you, it is God's word that gives us the remedy. He is the remedy. It was his word that brought a vision of what the earth was to become. It was his word that gave the earth this new beginning, this powerful new beginning. It was God's word, the word that took the earth from this formless void mass into this ordered thing, this planet that has life and gives life, that has beauty, that has excellence, this planet that has you in it. It was God's word that made that happen. And this text in Genesis can be a picture, a template for our own lives, our own souls, our own living. It's easy for us to drift from God. It's easy for us to drift from what is real and what is true and what is good and pleasing and of good report. It's easy for us to drift, but God has a new beginning for us if we would only see it and if we will only say it. So that as we say it, we will see it. Amen? I want to remind you, no matter what you're going through, God has a plan to restore that thing that is supposed to be yours. He has a plan to put you right. He has a plan for your health. He does. He does. He has a plan for you. God wants to restore you to a full and fruitful relationship with him. And today I declare over you that his word will speak into your life in the name of Jesus. When things look unclear and things look confused, I declare that his word will speak into your life. When things are failing to take shape around you or take form, I declare that his word will speak when you're spiritually depleted and dry. I declare that his word will speak when you need a renewed relationship with him. And that relationship will take form in him in the name of Jesus. I declare that his word will not be empty over your life. By his word, you will be filled with his love. By his word, you will be filled with his presence. By his word, you will be filled with his power. Are you ready for your beginning? Amen. Are you ready, saints? God said, let there be light. So I ask you today, what are you saying? Which darkness do you have to let go of? Will you let go of so that you can embrace the light? What do you need to make space for so that his word, his will, his way can have preeminence in your life? What are you going to leave behind? Will you leave behind that emptiness, that void? Will you leave it behind so you can embrace being filled with God, being filled by the truth and his declared word, his written word? Saints, let the light of creation, let it renew you, let it restore you, let it recreate you to new levels of beauty, new levels of power, strength, and victory in the name of Jesus. Allow his word to bring you to a new level of reality about who you are that will restore you to your full potential. Allow you to walk in his perfect will for your life. Saints, let me tell you, God has created you with a full and a powerful potential. Do not let anybody hold you back, keep you down, keep you minimum, cut you down in any way, diminish you in any way. If God has created you for 100%, 99% is an insult to you. It is. Do not settle for 99 when you can have the 100. If God has given it for you, it is yours. Make sure you lay hold of it, lay claim. Listen, some of our lives are like the earth, void, without form, without God, in desperate need of direction, power, purpose. And we're waiting for God to bring us to our full potential. Excuse my phrase, I need to say this, but I don't care how bad your failures may be. They can be turned around into success. I don't care how dark your darkness, it can be turned to light in the name of Jesus. I don't know who this is for, and I don't know why I'm sensing to go in this kind of direction. But the creation power of God and the creation power of God's word is available to you right now. And in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, I decree and declare that every cloak of ignorance over you will be lifted off you. What you need to know will be revealed to you. Your weakness will be transformed into strength. All aspects of your life that are in chaos will be turned into order in the name of Jesus. Where there is turmoil, you will experience peace in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you will come into fruitfulness. You will come into multiplication. In the name of Jesus, God's creation mandate, the part of his greater plan for you, the remedy will be there for you for those times, those moments, those seasons when you go off track. He is a God of restoration and hope, and may that be your story. May restoration and hope be your story and your testimony. He's the God of reconciliation, and may that be your story and your testimony in the name of Jesus. Let me borrow a phrase from Pastor Manuela's sermon at the beginning of the year. I dare you to grasp hold of God. I dare you to touch the hem of his garment and hold on tight. I dare you to trust him. I dare you to exercise your faith. I dare you. And as you do so, as you do these things with all truth and sincerity, I trust, I pray in the name of Jesus that his virtue will flow into your life in the name of Jesus. Your potential will go beyond the natural world. Just as God visualized the world and spoke it into being, as you confess his word over your life, as you speak his word over your life, as you say what you want to see in the name of Jesus, you will see what you have said. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says, let there be light. Open your eyes to see it. What does light do? It brings illumination. It brings information. It brings protection. It brings greater security as you open your eyes and you grasp the vision of God. It is my prayer for you. In fact, I decree over you, I declare over you that the treasures of this world, those things that you've held on to, that house, that car, that job, that this, that, and the other thing, they will be as nothing compared to what God is going to do in your life. I decree greater accomplishments over you as you experience God's divine power. I pray that every single worldly thing you have ever held on to will be dwarfed, will look like an ant compared to the creative miracle of heaven that will come unto you as you hold onto the word of God. I pray that as you are ready to lay hold of that which God has for you, you will experience him anew and afresh and again in the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us that we are earthen vessels, and in us is treasure. I pray, what happens to treasure? Is found, or it is mined, is discovered. And my prayer for you is that the Lord will truly, 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 our Creator God will cause the treasure that you are to be revealed and to be received in the name of Jesus. As you faithfully serve his divine purpose in your life. So for the last time today, I say these words. I dare you. I dare you to come further into his light. I dare you to believe him. I dare you to lay hold. I dare you to exercise your faith. I dare you to live in the plan he has for you so that your life, your story, will give glory to the matchless name of our Creator God, the one and only Almighty. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.